My name is John. I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to thank Larry for asking me to share. And I want to welcome all the newcomers and first-timers and token takers. I want to congratulate you. My sobriety date is October 23rd, 2008. And I recommend you make sure that you get your sobriety date before you get a tattoo of it. I got a tattoo right here on my arm that says the 21st, and I was opening up my big book when my sponsor, the first day I came in, said, write down today. And this is a lesson learned that actually read your big book. Opened it up after I got the tattoo and realized it was the 23rd, not the 21st, so learn it from me. Brief background, I'm here, I want to talk about the solution. I'm sure you all know what the problem was like. But I will give you a few qualifiers. The first time I came into the rooms, it was after I'd woken up from a blackout, where I woke up in the hospital from a blackout with a 0.46 BAC, and actually was told I should have been dead. The second time, I think I managed to string together about 90 days of white-knuckle sobriety at that point. The second time, I tried to kill myself by drinking myself to death. Ended up in a, it was a weekend bender, woke up in the hospital on a 5150. At that point, I thought that I did have a problem, but I managed to do some white-knuckle sobriety for 2.5 years. I have no idea how it happened, except for the grace of God. Slowly but surely, the mental obsession came back for me, and I decided to try it again. I needed to do a little more research because I had it all figured out. And what actually brought me here, brought me to my knees, ironically enough, was I showed up to a job interview drunk and I didn't get the job. And, you know, it goes to show you that, your bottom doesn't have to be that low. For me, it was. And the reason it was for me, because, the two previous times I came in, I thought that, if I just did this differently, if I just had this girlfriend, if I just had a house, if I just had custody of my son, if I just had this career, something would be different. It never was. I was making an excellent salary, owned my own business, had a $500,000 house, I was married, had two kids, two dogs. The only thing I didn't have was a white picket fence. And so I had everything, and I was still miserable. And at that point, I prayed and I asked God. I said, God, I have to do something different. I need some help here. I drink essentially because I like the effect produced by alcohol. Something happened in me whenever I drank, called the phenomenon of craving, that whenever I put one drink in my system, my body craved more. I broke out in cravings. There was times whenever I was out there and I thought, I'm not an alcoholic because I can quit when I want to. I can stop when I want to. And I thought that would be like if I go out for drinks with a few friends and I decide I'm the designated driver, and I'm only going to have two. Well, I would only have two, and I would stop. But what I failed to see at the time was I became restless, irritable, and discontent because I didn't have any more. And I would become a miserable son of a gun, so that way everyone at the party would either want me to leave or... whoever I went there with would take me home. So that way I could go and drink at home. Which I thought was, that was being controlled. That was me actually having control. Whenever I got here, whenever I got into the rooms and I took alcohol away, I took my solution away. For many years, alcohol was my solution. And I found out really quickly, actually not quickly, it took me a little while to figure out that whenever I removed alcohol, it left a hole in my heart. Ironically enough, God fits that same hole. And I found out that if I don't replace God with that hole, that I'm going to find something else to fill that void. And that may be a different program, it talks about in the doctor's opinion, that we will be restless, irritable, and discontent unless I can again experience the sense of ease and comfort that comes from taking a few drinks. God can give me that sense of ease and comfort if I allow Him, if I'm willing. And, you know, I had to be willing to try something new. You know, the book also talks about we have two choices, to die an alcoholic death or to go on miserably, right, and die. Or, I'm sorry, I said the same thing twice, didn't I? To die an alcoholic death or take these principles, you know, and to take these steps, do this program thoroughly. You know, for me, anytime, you know, I know that anytime there's a lurking notion out there, there's something in my mind that says, you know what, if you just do this, John, something's going to be different. That's the third option. The book doesn't talk about a third option. It says two. So unless I actually see that I have two options and that's all I have, then, you know, I'm probably going to fail miserably. Actually, I will fail miserably. You know, and that happens to me whether I'm drunk or sober. You know, and it's something that I have to, you know, my sobriety is something I have to take an active part in every single day. The book, there's one place that I've been able to find that it says I can pause, and that's whenever I'm agitated on page 87. It doesn't say I can take a rest. It doesn't say that after step 12 I'm done, that I've graduated. It talks about that I get a daily reprieve that's contingent upon this maintenance of my spiritual condition. It doesn't say that, you know, I can do it whenever I feel like it. It says I need to continue and practice these principles in all my affairs. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, it talks about, the book talks about, this is a simple program. It's not an easy program. You know, I think if it were easy, this room would be full. And, you know, this room is pretty full now, but I'd be probably overfilling. We'd probably have people hanging out in the doorways and stuff. And that's not the case. Really quickly, I want to jump to step 10. Step 10, you know, and just kind of going off of a little bit of what I've been talking about already, that I have to continue doing this. You know, at step 10, it says continue four times in the first paragraph. It says this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along the way. Then it goes on to say, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonest, and resentment and fear. And that's continuing. You know, it doesn't say, you know, I've come to step 10, so all right, let's go on to 11. You know, for me, I have to do this every single day. I find if I don't do it every single day, that I'm running my will. If I'm on my will, that means I'm not on God's will. And, you know, it's unfortunately for, you know, it tends to be something that's easier said than done. You know, I was actually talking with my sponsor today. And, you know, we were talking about, we're going through step 3 right now. And, you know, I told him, I said, it's really easy for me to fall back, to rest on my laurels. You know, my definition of laurels is given credit for my sobriety, given anything credit for my sobriety other than God. You know, I truly believe that I am sober by the grace of God, and that's it. You know, I became willing when I came here, and, you know, God took care of the rest. And, you know, it also talks about step 11, suggests that we suggest prayer and meditation. You know, these are suggestions, but it'll also tell you if you don't do the suggestions, what'll happen. You know, and for me, that was enough that, you know, I'm willing to take these steps every single day. You know, there's the triangle, unity, service, and recovery. Thank you, sir. Unity, service, and recovery. You know, I have to practice all three of those. Unity, bringing my body here to the meetings, you know, being part of group, talking with another alcoholic. Service, you know, service isn't just making coffee. You know, it can be, it is. Service is also taking people through the steps. You know, it talks about very early in this book, you know, I think it's even before they start numbering the pages, it talks about that in order to stick with this, we have to take another person through the steps. in recovery. That's me taking myself or going through the steps with my sponsor. And I think I'm just about out of time. So with that, I will conclude. Thanks for letting me share.